I have to tell the people about the Patreon.
Yes, you do. Patreon.com/SMDB. SMDB, like so many damn books.
For just a dollar, you can join up and you get access to all the exclusive content that I record just for the Patreon. Also, you get to join the book club. Oh, there's so many damn books book club. It's been some of the best conversations I've had about books.
It really always sounds like a blast. I'll usually like come home and just hear like giggles coming from the library. So it's a great time. You should join.
And I would love to have more people join the fray.
You may or may not know that Christopher runs this whole show himself on the hosting side, on the technical side, everything. This is a one-man show, truly. He does it all. Support your boy, Christopher.
Even at the dollar level really helps. So join up. Patreon.com/SMDB. I'd love to have you.
Patreon.com/SMDB.
On with the show.
I guess that's good in the event of unscrupulous behavior.
Mm-hmm. It's so important to have scruples.
Yes.
I often just look at my drawer full of scruples, and I'm so glad I have them.
What's a scruple look like?
It's rigatoni, actually.
Just yeah, I was going to say, there's sort of a, maybe like a fusilli that's got a little bit of a, yeah. There's a...
It's the radiator looking one.
Oh yeah, that actually, I like that, because they can kind of stack.
Mm-hmm. Drawer full of scruples, and I'm ready for winter.
So many damn books.
Happy November to you. Happy All Souls Day. Did you spend the day in church as we all did?
Is it a church day?
All Souls, is that just a, that's something, right? I had to go into two churches recently and I didn't catch on fire in either of them. So
off day.
Yeah. He wasn't paying attention.
I see. We're talking the day after Halloween.
Yeah. Did you have a nice Halloween?
I did. Did you?
I did.
Good. Leave it at that. People who listen to this podcast probably love books. And if you love books, you're probably going to love Scribd. Forbes and TechCrunch and Wired all called Scribd Netflix for books. And that means that there are millions of ebooks, audiobooks, magazines, and more that you get with your subscription to this incredible service. You also get thoughtfully curated editor's picks and smart recommendations based on what you've read. Scribd is incredibly easy to use, really fun. I used it to listen to Lisa Lutz's Spellman series, and that was really wonderful, so I always get a warm feeling when I see the app icon on my phone. And you too can use Scribd. Right now, Scribd is offering our listeners a free 60-day trial. Go to try.scribd.com/smdb for your free trial. That's try.scribd.com/smdb to get 60 days of Scribd for free. No, Sarah and I dressed up like Brody and Quint from Jaws and put Ramona in a shark costume.
How's she do with the costumes?
Oh, she doesn't. I mean, as long as it's not a hat, she doesn't care. She doesn't like hats, which is too bad because she looks real cute in a cowboy hat. I'm guessing Ziggy is not a costume dog.
No. She does like a sweater in the wintertime, but she also will spend the first 20 minutes after you've put it on her trying to get it off. And every once in a while she like somehow manages to contort herself, and so half of it sort of comes and then she's stuck.
Yeah.
Think about that stuff a lot when I see dog costumes, and I'm like, if it's like a jumpsuit or something, shouldn't all the stuff be underneath the dog? Because when you know what I mean? The head faces one way. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
These are the things that I think about here in the woods. I'm just like, what about dog costumes.
Mm.
There were a lot of dog costumes in Woodstock as well.
There were a lot of dogs out and partying as there. I saw a dog dressed like a chicken run towards a child dressed as a chicken. And that was a good Halloween moment. See, this is some of the gorgeous things you see in a city Halloween.
Yeah.
With motorists honking because it was in the middle of the crosswalk.
Yeah. I saw an elderly Batman racing after a very young Robin.
Sure.
And that was more or less the most excitement.
What did you do?
I did Greg Davies, host of the British television program Taskmaster, which I have recommended on this program previously.
Yes, you have.
And we went to not one but two parties.
Ooh.
And I gave out tasks to people.
So fun.
A lot of people were like, I don't understand. Particularly at the second party, they were just like, you want me to do this thing? And I was like, yeah. And then people would just do it. I will say at the first party that I went to, there were a number of like-minded literary folks. And when I gave them tasks, they were just like, all right, got it. And like went off and like took the like 10 minutes that was allotted and like did a it was impressive.
That's fun.
It was tough. We had our in-laws here until Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And we both, like Danny and I were like, we should get out the box of Halloween stuff. We should start putting together ideas. And really snuck up on us this year. So there was a bit of like, okay, we can either rehash something or do something that's low-key, easy, and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that. Danny was a unicorn. She has a unicorn onesie.
Sure.
It has a big horn on it and everything. She did some cool makeup.
Wonderful.
That was fun.
Yeah, that's great. Sounds nice. What are you drinking? You've got a drink.
I do. I have a glass of Balmore 15 single malt scotch.
Sounds
because
very
it
nice.
Is, as we all know, winter now. It's very
almost.
Cold.
Yeah. The times will change.
Below freezing tomorrow night.
Oh, golly. That's.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, winter's there.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a drink that. Is really nice, but it's also kind of making me sad because the main spirit is mango brandy.
Whoa.
It's really nice that
mango
this,
brandy.
Yeah. And it's a manufactured product. I didn't infuse this myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, really nice. And it's sad because one of my absolute favorite restaurants, like, closed their doors over the weekend.
Yeah.
At Hunky Dory, which I just loved.
I can't believe it.
Loved it there. And, but they were selling off their bar. And this is a very nice bottle of mango brandy. And they were, you know, it was like $10.
Yeah.
And so it's delicious. So it's mixed with lime juice, simple syrup, some spicy fire bitters, and soda water.
Nice.
And I'm just calling it leaves a changing.
Yeah.
Because they are changing.
To everything. Turn, turn, turn.
Exactly. I'm curious if is October country because you finished your all of these reads.
Yeah.
Scarier? For you, away from people, like in your quiet house, on your quiet street? Or is it less scary because there's just fewer people around that might be the horrible character in the novel?
Right. That's kind of tough. I feel like there's a third factor, which is my horror tolerance on the page has gone up.
Oh, right. So, wait, do you watch scary movies?
I like a handful of scary movies. I will get scared during scary movies, and sometimes I will pause the scary movie in order to, like, go walk around, have a nice time, get my blood pressure down a little bit. I like an art house scary movie, an A24 scary movie.
Mm-hmm. But you're not
Tim Burton, Sleepy Hollow, Trick or Treat, like things that I'm not a big like slasher.
You don't want to see the latest thing that Jason's up to.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll read the Wikipedia entry sometimes.
Uh-huh.
We talked about this a little bit with Mona Awad. That Sarah Grand book, Come Closer.
Yeah.
Definitely the scariest thing I've read this year. I reread it just for the hell of it and still scare the daylights out of me.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I will read something that really sends a chill up my spine. But so often, it's not. The scarier stuff to me these days really lives in a more cosmic realm.
Mm.
The like Laird Barron, John Langan, the stuff that is. Emily Hughes said this thing to me once that like she thinks about horror as a way to essentially like it's exposure therapy. So like you can be scared of something, but in a safe place,
mm-hmm.
sort of in a like a just in case fashion.
Sure. Or like a roller coaster. Like
mm-hmm.
it's a safe thrill. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like at this point it's even sort of, I don't know, something like possession or a serial killing slasher or something. There is, particularly in media, there's often like there's a sense of right and wrong and like morality that comes into play, which it's kind of Judeo-Christian, but the thing about cosmic horror, like the way post-Lovecraft stuff, the non-racist stuff, has so much of the just like, nope, some crazy fucking shit could happen for no reason because of sort of like unimaginable forces that sort of live outside of our realm or something. That yeah. feels scary to me in the way that like it feels very makes a lot of sense to me that I have glommed onto this over the last, let's say, 5 years.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's a lot of incomprehensible behavior happening that's very scary to me because I can't wrap my mind around it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to think of cosmic horror and like where it comes from. To me, because I don't quite know where this like shooting past the like bounds of the universe, and you're actually describing the fact that you're shooting past the bounds of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I recognize it specifically in It, because he does it two times.
Yeah.
And I think one time it's very effective, and the second time it's less effective. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess he does it in 11/22/63 as well. It's like the beyond
oh, yeah.
time fear space, which is also, I think it is like the scariest thing that he can do. But it's also like your mileage may vary with how scary that actually is.
Yeah, it requires a real, you have to twist your brain in a like a very particular way. I think. As I mentioned, my in-laws were here, and my mother-in-law does not understand the appeal of horror. Like I sent her, she's a writer, and I sent her this horror novella that I've been working on. And she was like, great writing, some of it, but I had to read it like literary fiction and approach it like literary fiction because I just could not make sense of why people were behaving the ways that they were behaving or like why the story had to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are a lot of people who go even to that place. They're just like, why would you want to be scared?
Yeah.
You know? Like sort of letting in the scare is one thing. And then sort of getting to a point where the scare that you're letting in is sort of like the unknowable chaos of the universe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I read you have a newsletter about reading and your reading that you were talking about. Being a little disappointed that you weren't reading as much October Country as you wanted this year, but then being like, well, why am I confining this reading to this one month?
We've talked about like reading challenges before and the sort of the ways that we set goals for ourselves or sort of like sometimes that's useful when you're in a reading rut or something and you're like, oh, I know that I can read this and get out of it.
Right.
But sometimes those things that felt fun, you know, the catch-ups that I was doing where I was like, I'm going to read 5 or 6 novels by this author who I never read in school.
Mm-hmm.
It's just less interesting to me now to constrain my reading in that way, which is also nice because then it is fun to just read spooky shit for the month of October. And it was fun this year. But that reminder of like, I don't have to be done. Like that book that I really wanted to read that I didn't get to, I can just read it now.
Yeah.
Like it's okay, you know?
Right. It doesn't have to be held on the shelf till next October. It's not a Christmas decoration.
There's like Christmas stuff does feel much more tied seasonally.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm not in Christmas yet.
Unlike the Lowe's here in Ulster County, which I sent you a photograph in late September that already had Christmas shit out. And even you said, this is too much.
Too early. You know, it's going to start coming in now, I think, for me. But even you know, yeah. I'm still in big book land. I always like big books in fall.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I read The New Franzen and really enjoyed it.
Nice.
And of course, I loved the Ruth Ozeki. And
yeah.
I'm also reading the new Amor Tolls.
Oh, cool.
The Lincoln Highway, which is another big, fun adventure novel.
Yeah.
It's read by the same person who read Beautiful Ruins.
Oh, cool.
That Jess Walter novel.
Uh-huh.
And it's just fun to be hearing this guy's voice again. It's also Maren Ireland is another voice in this, and she's
hell yeah
in Why the Last Man. So it's fun to have her in life in many different ways.
She might be my favorite actress. I think she's fantastic.
She's so good, and she's such a great audio. She gets to do some really fun audiobooks.
Cool.
I did listen to A Tale for the Time Being, read by Ruth Ozeki, after she was talking about how much fun she had reading it on that episode.
Yeah.
And oh, it really is a completely different reading experience.
Yeah, I bet.
So nice to be back in that universe. You know, it really is an amazing book.
That's cool that it gave you a sort of like a double header a little bit. Like you got to re-experience the book, not quite for the first time.
Right.
But like it's fun when you listen to it or you experience it in a different way and it feels different.
I also tried to read the new Steingart novel, Our Country yeah. Friends. And I just had to put it away because I found out the answer to, do I want to read a novel about the pandemic right now? And the answer is no.
Yeah.
You know, he was having fun and it was really bouncy, but I couldn't be reading about like people's feelings on masks and social distancing. I'm not there yet.
You know, it's funny. We so often talk about fiction in this show, mm-hmm. just because we're reading so much of it. But that book and the handful of pandemic novels that definitely feel like they are coming soon, like that the John Scalzi book that's coming out next year that's about kaiju, but it's like starts the beginning of the pandemic. It's a little bit like all of the Bob Woodward Trump books.
Yeah,
you know, there is an audience for the like tell me about everything that happened last month.
Mm-hmm.
I feel pretty safe in saying that like you and I are not, and we want a little bit of a historical remove because we're still feeling the very vivid effects of living through it the first time.
Right. It still feels like a raw wound.
Yeah. It's a different kind of horror.
Yeah.
You get anything good recently? Danny and I did our October, All Hallows Read gifting.
Right.
Which was fun.
This is like your Halloween version of St. Geordie Day.
Yeah. This kind of started first, I realize, and it's because of Neil Gaiman, as with so many things. But he's, I don't know, there was like circa 2014, because that's why we gave away books at Moose Mask too. He was like, what if instead of candy, we gave away books?
Yeah. You get the same treatment as people who gave out apples and toothbrushes.
Raisins, yeah.
Raisins
might be the worst Halloween gift. Toothbrush, honestly, I need one at some point. Apples, as we get older, we all know apples are fucking delicious.
Sure.
Raisins, though, on Halloween, it's like, so you want to give me something sweet, you're just being an asshole about it. Did you guys give out any candy?
We did a little bit, little Butterfingers and Baby Ruth crunch. Uh-huh. You know,
nice,
pretty classic, and I'm glad to have them myself. Yeah. So forget you. Oh, these are my 100 grands. I'm rich in tiny 100 grands. You did too, I assume.
Yeah, we
you didn't give out scary reads to the neighborhood children.
No.
Will you please give me feedback on my novella? There's your trick or treat.
That's pretty scary, right?
It's on a thumb drive. It should work.
The little come back to my, if I have a dongle if you need one. Like Three Musketeers and Milky Ways and that family of chocolate products.
Very nice. You asked me if I got any good books. Did. I'm really excited about our friend Sasha Fletcher's Be Here to Love Me at the End of the World.
Yeah.
Out from Melville Press in February. This book is already getting a lot of fun talking about it and such ecstatic sentences. So energetic. This person, Sasha, is not afraid of the exclamation point.
Yeah.
And I am so excited for him in novel form because he's an incredible poet.
Yeah.
And then I got Ruth Ozeki wrote this little book for Restless Books called The Face, A Time Code, about like staring into a mirror and writing what she saw, which I'm really interested in and only came upon it after looking at her work. And it's always fun to buy things from Restless Books. I also love a tiny pocket size like this. It's like a...
Yeah, it's cute.
And then I'm so excited about this. Sarah Gran, who we've talked about at length on this show, she is starting her new press called Dreamland Books. And her first novel will be The Book of the Most Precious Substance, which is about a rare book dealer. And a book that promises great sexual pleasure to whoever who reads it. That sounds insane, and I can't wait to read it. It actually kind of sounds like a Scarlett Thomas novel.
Yeah, there's like, yeah, it's got that twisted thing to it.
So I'm really excited about that. I anytime I finish Sarah Grant, I miss her. I want another one. So
I'm so excited that this is coming out and that she's doing it herself. It feels cool.
Yeah.
I like to see authors who I like just being like, fuck it,
I'm gonna try something.
Do a cool, yeah. And it's like, hell yeah, I'm there. Here's $24. Sounds great.
And then I have a little story. So there was this book I saw on some list a long time ago, and it stuck out to me. It's something about like women in publishing, a novel about women working in publishing. And I couldn't remember, is it in the 70s and the 60s and the 50s and the 40s? It was just like, tried to find it, but all I have is like publishing women.
Yeah, that's a pretty rough Google search.
Not going to work. And so I sort of gave it up and thought like, look, if this book will find me if I'm meant to read it. And on Instagram, Philly Book Girl had put this book, The Best of Everything by Rana Jaffe, in her Instagram stories. And it's a book written in 1958 about the time period, about five women working in publishing. It was finally, it was like, there it is.
Nice. That's great.
So I got that. I haven't received it yet. It's in the mail, but I'm excited to finally have this mystery solved.
That's so fun. That your brain was just waiting dormant for you to see. And then it's like, ding!
Exactly. So, yeah. So I have a few books. I've gotten a few. But that's fine. It's fine to have some books.
It's always fine to have some books.
What about you, Drew? Did you get anything good recently?
I did. So I gave Danny the new Clairvay Watkins for All Hallows Read, because the title was just way too good to pass up. I Love You, But I've Chosen Darkness. Might hands down be the best title of the year. Maybe the best title ever. That's an exceptionally good title. But it also feels like the kind of thing that I would say to my wife as a joke at some point, and that she would be like, I think this is a joke. And so that felt right.
Isn't there a band?
Is there?
Yeah. This is something that I thought about when I saw the title. I think it's an amazing, whatever the words are, but there was a band, I Love You, But I've Chosen Darkness, that, you know, put out some stuff.
Post-punk revival band from Austin, Texas.
You know, they put out an album on Secretly Canadian, which is a great little label.
They're still active.
Yeah. I wonder how they feel about that. I think it's a great title. I think it's a great band name.
That's hilarious. Their debut EP was produced by Spoon frontman Britt Daniel.
Yeah.
Well, I need to go listen to them immediately.
Yeah, you're going to like them. I think you will.
Speaking of Spoon, I'm just going to throw this out there. Pre-ordered the new Spoon record the minute that the email showed up in my inbox. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was so fast. It's also called Lucifer on the Sofa, which felt appropriate for the time of year.
That's cool.
It comes out sometime next year. Wasn't even paying attention. At some point, it's just going to show up in my mailbox and I'm going to be thrilled.
See, I love that. I love that.
Yeah. It's happened to me every once in a while recently, I guess because of supply chain issues, where something, it'll be long enough that I'm like, did I request this? Did I order this? Did I do a thing? And then something shows up and I'm like, hey!
There it is. Yeah.
But then Danny gave me Grievers by Adrienne Marie Brown. Mm. It's her debut work of fiction, or like of long form fiction. It's being published by AK Press, which is this like little anarchist press. And it's the first in, they're doing an imprint inspired by the ethos of Octavia E. Butler. And they're calling the imprint Black Dawn, and it's like all speculative, weird horror. And this book, I know very little about it, and I'm going to try to go into it completely blind, but it has something to do with a plague.
Mm.
But sort of, it seems like it's a bit more fantastical than horror. But like Margaret Kiljoy is publishing the next book in the imprint, and I think it's like a big epic fantasy, but they wrote that great series of horror novellas for tour.com.
Right.
So I feel like it's going to be a cool, like I'm excited to be in on the ground floor too.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Start collecting.
Good title.
One thing that I am finding difficult, as we've discussed, trying not to bring so many books into the home, as one only has so much space, regardless of how big your home is, honestly. At some point, you got to make some tough decisions. And it's hard for me to pass up my bookseller discount.
Oh, yeah. I did, but weren't sure if you wanted to talk about this yet, but you've crossed the, you're on the other side of the desk, as it were.
Yeah, I feel like it part of it, when you were like, oh, should we do this? I was like, man, I don't know. I haven't even fucking done it yet.
Right.
And then it was just so nice. The one day that I've worked the bookstore so far, they could easily listen to this right. and be like, oof, never mind.
Right. We're just saying Drew became a bookseller.
Come by Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York on Tuesdays, and I will make you leave with more books than you intended to buy.
This is your first bookstore job.
This is my first bookstore job, yeah.
Cool.
It is truly, my therapist was like, he was excited to ask me how it went.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, so like, I was like, yeah, man, it is everything I always dreamed it would be. And he was like, really? I was like, yeah, it is exactly how I dreamed it would be.
That's amazing. That's great. I mean, I feel like you, having spent so much time in bookstores, are more attuned to the realities.
Yeah.
And like having followed book Twitter, which includes bookstore Twitter, which includes bookseller Twitter,
mm-hmm.
you definitely know the culture around it better than someone who might have been switching careers out of something else.
Yeah, it does feel like a logical extension of my, like, yeah, sure, why not put this talent to use recommending books, which is a more or less a useless talent when you think about it. But like, here's one small way that I can, you know, I don't know, be in touch with the community and give a big middle finger to the big man in the penis-shaped rocket ship.
And also, you know, it's not just an aptitude for book selling. It's like organizing books and enjoying the feel of a book in your hands.
Oh my God. They were like, so listen, if it's ever slow and there are plenty of days where it is, you know, it depends on how involved you want to get, but like you can rearrange stuff. You can walk around and like push all the books up to the front of the thing. And I had like already just started doing it as I was walking around, and they were like, oh yeah, you're going to fit in nice here.
That's great.
And I was like, yeah, this is what I do when I walk into a bookstore. And I've right. just never gotten paid to do it before.
It's like a record store employee, just like no matter what record store they're in, they have to push the records back.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the crate. So that they're facing.
You've worked in a bookstore, right?
I did. It was one of these things where I started working there. It was in San Francisco, Phoenix Books. I don't think the store exists anymore.
Uh-huh.
And they lost their lease in the very early in the time that I'd started Yikes. Working there. But luckily we're able to just move down the street, but
That's
lost
cool.
like a couple weeks of revenue. And that was, so it was a first in, first out situation, which was too bad. Cause it was like, I'd moved to San Francisco. That was a job I got. And I was like, this is going to be my life. And then
yeah.
3 weeks later, it's like, no, it's not. But a beautiful, beautiful 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, I loved working at that bookstore, and I would have loved to continue. Who knows what would have happened in my life if I had been allowed to continue working at a bookstore? Maybe I wouldn't have moved to New York and become a literary agent. Who knows?
Yeah, you would have had a conglomerate of bookstores in the Bay Area and would have poisoned Jeff Bezos at some point, probably.
Mm.
With a poison book.
Oh, like one of those. Like,
a
little bit of poison on every page.
Uh-huh. And then Kenneth Branagh as Hercule Poirot would have shown up with his mustache and been like, hello, you are the killer.
And be pointing at himself because he caused it.
Are not we all the killer inside ourselves?
Yeah, exactly. Do you have any recommendations for the good people?
We read some pretty cool books. We recommend you take a look. Yeah.
I do. I have just one.
Other than, you know, go work at a bookstore if you love books this much.
Honestly, if you love books, give it a shot.
Yeah.
Like
the
that
bookstore jobs, they're on the floor. They're for No, I congratulations on this. I'm so excited for you. I just think
thanks, man.
I'm glad that you get to do this.
It does feel like one of those hey, that thing that's your dream, why not fucking try to do it?
Yeah.
What's the worst thing that happens? You don't do it. That's been the first 32 and a half years of my life. And then here we are.
Right.
But yeah. Okay. Recommendations. I read this book a couple of months ago when it came out. I've been thinking about it pretty frequently. I'm so excited for the second book, which is coming out in January. But it's the first book is The Ninth Metal by Benjamin Percy.
Mm.
It is the first book in his Comet Cycle. He's doing like a Jeff Vandermeer style thing, like Jeff did with the Southern Reach trilogy at FSG. Cool. All three books, or as he recently intimated, the first three books released in the space of a year. It's like June, January, June, or something like that. But unlike the Area X books, where there is sort of a linear plot line that's moving forward more or less, these are sort of more like shared world stories.
Okay.
Where a comet zipped through the solar system, and a year later, when the Earth passed through the debris left by the comet, a bunch of meteorites fell and delivered with them a bunch of crazy shit. Mm. And this book is about this metal that comes out of some of these meteorites that is unlike anything that's on Earth. And it's set in the like the timber belt in Minnesota, I think, or Michigan. One of the two M states that's very far north, has a lot of trees and a lot of logging. But it's just like a good, fast-paced, you know, like small town, big family, at the top of the food chain, kind of like, it's basically the sawmill subplot of the original Twin Peaks, but like just that stuff.
Okay.
And maybe a little bit of superhero stuff. It was great. And the second book, apparently, it's set at the exact same time, but deals with like a weird new invasive species in the Pacific Northwest.
Huh.
And the third book is something else entirely. And I had so much fun reading it. It's like a good propulsive thriller. And it feels like a great rebuttal to like Marvel style world building where you need to know everything. Like it seems as though each book is going to be a standalone, just sort of connecting into a larger web.
Yeah.
It's more
Stephen King. I feel
like it's coming up a lot. Yeah, or like Pando, Miracazoidal network or whatever. Somebody's going to correct me about this. It's the fungal network.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's really cool. I can't wait that there are two more books coming in the next 8 months.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. How about you?
I'm going to recommend just a podcast that I've been enjoying. Aaron Summers and Alex Shepard have this new Jonathan Franzen podcast called Mr. Difficult, where they're considering novel by novel his work, and they've just done an episode about the failed corrections pilot.
They saw it.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about blessed.
So that's pretty crazy. And it's just sort of fun because they're bringing a lot. It's not just snark.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing a lot of genuine warmth to the conversation. And sort of, it kind of reminds me in spirit of like the Carl Wilson, Celine Dion, of just like so many people like this. Like, why do people like this? What is it that he's capturing? And
yeah,
or not capturing at all, as he does in his early work. And it's also really nice to, because I wondered about some of his early novels, and it's nice to have a pretty full discussion that makes me think like, maybe that's all I need.
Yeah, I felt that way very much about Strong Motion. Mm-hmm. Which I was like, this sounds interesting to me. This sound, I could, this, the back jacket copy is interesting. And I listened to that episode and I was like, ooh, phew. Yeah. Okay. I'm set.
But you know, I did enjoy Crossroads, and if he's your thing, he's doing a good job of doing the thing that he does.
I'm looking forward to it.
The podcast is great. And Aaron Summers, who was on our podcast, is just a great person to have on a podcast. She's a good Twitter follow too.
Yeah.
Well, onward and upward into your month of reading.
Indeed. Are you, ooh, here's the real, the buzzer beater question for you. You doing the NaNoWriMo?
No. No. I am glad that it exists. I think it's a cool network, and I've always thought that NaNoWriMo is a neat thing for so many reasons, but I don't feel the need. I have my own writing practice that's my own and doesn't need to be talked about on Twitter. Twitter is the mind killer.
Yes. Twitter is the little death. I will permit Twitter to pass over and through me.
Ugh. No Twitter for me. No Twitter prompt writing for me. Are you?
I am, but in a way, like, I've done it in the past where I've like joined up on the thing and been talking on the community, and this is like, I've been working on a project for a little while. It's at a place where I'm starting to type it up, and I had two friends who were like, are you doing NaNoWriMo? Because I want to do it. I need an accountability buddy. And so
that's nice.
We're just doing a thing where we're just texting our daily word count to each other every day, even if it's zero, even if it doesn't hit the 1,200 words or whatever the goal is, as like just a month of writing accountability.
Nice.
Which feels like a more generous way to, what a weird, I get it, because it's cold and you want to go inside, but like there's Thanksgiving this month.
Yeah.
There's a, like, it's a tough month to dedicate writing every day 1,200 words.
Yeah. And I this is a big month to be getting ready. I mean, like, supply chain stuff, people have been saying it on Twitter universe, but in the world, like, try to buy your books from indies, because like there's even you know, Amazon's already slapping $10 charges on trying to get books on time to people. So
yeah.
if that's what's going on, like, go to an indie, and you know, because you're not even saving any money anymore.
Right. Honestly, go to your indie, and if they don't have the thing that you want, A, be kind, and B, accept whatever their replacement recommendation is, because it is probably just as good of a book.
Sure.
You know, there are so many damn books. Oh, it's been a minute.
Figure these things out now. Yeah. Before you, for all the so many damn books.
Yeah.
Oh, and also to the listeners, we love iTunes reviews, and we appreciate when you support us on patreon.com/smdb. And we also appreciate when you interact with us on the social things, because those are the best types of social media interactions that we wish
it's true
was the only reason we were on there.
Like the Halcyon days.
Yeah, I loved, a few people did really tell us what they were doing while they listened to the episode.
Yeah.
Drying peppers and going on a run. And I really appreciate
giving
that.
Babies a bath.
If you wanted to send us what you were doing while you listened to this episode, we love that.
Take us back. Take us back to those sweet, sweet days.
What the internet used to be for, damn it.
Pretend it's Tumblr. Pour your heart out. Have a nice time. And tag well.
Tag well.
Tag well.
Tag well.
Tag well to you.
Tag well to you.